Hi there, and welcome to Desired, the podcast from Echos, designed to help you be bold, stay fresh, and become a better design and innovation leader. With me, Juliana Proserpio. Hopefully, we can help you not only predict the future, but create it through the lenses of design and innovation. This month, we speak with Felix Lee, an entrepreneur, innovator, designer, and the co-founder of the Amazing Design People List. On top of all of this, Felix is also completing his military service in Singapore, his home country. Felix has extensive experience in the startup world as a product designer. He has worked with clients worldwide, including GoTrade, Capture, Etsy, and KnowledgeHook. He's also the co-founder of PackDat and led design at Passpod. In our interview, we focus on his latest nonprofit venture, the ADP List, or Amazing Design People List, a site that matches designers all over the world with mentors and possible job opportunities. Felix and I deep dive into why he started this project in response to the COVID-19 pandemic and what he has learned from it. We will also explore the design trends of the Asian markets and their potential influence on the world. He will explain how multicultural societies like Singapore could become the key to marrying the Eastern and the Western design methods to create the world that is emerging.
First, I would like to know more about you. I saw a little bit on LinkedIn, but I would like to know, could you please share your story with me?
I'm currently serving the military service in Singapore, and I'm doing that full time, by the way. And also outside of military, I'm actually helping with this startup. I made this startup as a design lead. So this startup is called GoTrade. They just graduated from Y Combinator. And what we do is that, we want to help people in Asia to be able to invest in the stocks in US markets, right? For example, being able to invest in Facebook and Google and stuff like that because it's so expensive and it's so inaccessible to do it right now, which is why we even exist, to help people do that. Yeah, so I'm leading the design team there, which is super interesting. Previously, I co-founded a startup that was acquired, and then also I ran a design team at the age of 21, I was the head of product and design. And then I led a team of about 20 developers and designers in Indonesia. I was trying to help people, especially designers during COVID-19. So I actually created this thing called the Amazing Design People List, adplist.org, with a friend, James, from West Africa. So we came together, we decided, we should help designers worldwide. And we created this global community where now that we have over 400 design mentors on the platform. We have over 5,000 designers there on the platform. And, it's just insane, right? The amount of people that is interacting there. It has become a platform of, designers and mentors that is helping one another to find jobs, to get better portfolio reviews and stuff like that. I would say I pretty much run a couple of roles at the same time. But I think, it's really exciting and I'm enjoying every part of that.
Less than 3 months and you already have 5,000 people on the list. Is that right?
Yes.
That's amazing. What happened to make you want to help people and really make this happen?
When COVID hit, right, there was a lot of confusion in terms of the people that there was just a lot of confusion and uncertainty in the world, right? And I think I consider myself to be sort of very fortunate to be able to be in Singapore because Singapore's economy is pretty stable. I mean, there are people who get laid off and stuff like that, right? But I do see a lot of news of people around the world that are getting laid off. The best thing that we can do is to help others, right? And always as designer, we talk about solving a problem, right? We talk about solving a problem with design and stuff like that. But when there's a problem like a pandemic, are we just going to say, we're not scientists, we're not doctors, we can't do anything? And I think as designers, we have the responsibility to think, with our skill sets, with what we have, with the network, with the influence, right, that I have, what can I do, to help make this world a better place through design? We have to back up our actions. I mean, our words with our actions, right? We can't just say that we solve problems and then we don't solve a problem when there's a global pandemic, right? And everyone is affected by it. One night I sat down and I said, okay, what can I do? I decided to create this Excel sheet where people can put in their name and stuff like that. So it started off with an Excel sheet and a couple of days later, we transformed the Excel sheet into a website. And a lot of things has changed since we first launched, and we are incredibly proud of the work that the team is doing. For example, just this morning earlier, we had our coffee hours. I'm not sure if you saw that. We had our coffee hours. The room exceeded the amount of people on the Zoom call. So it's crazy. Wow. We have hundreds of people. We had to upgrade the Zoom call halfway through. So that was really incredible. But yeah, it inspires me to create ADP List because, you just really want to solve a problem and you want to inspire something around the world that, you know, people can connect in this time and, you know, sort of like bring hope and inspiration to the community, right? So I think that is my main motivation behind creating the Amazing Design People List.
That is super interesting, and I was very amazed by it. That's obviously why I asked to chat with you and invited you for the podcast. Because for me, I think you had a design attitude towards the problem, right? Like we were saying, like you were saying before, it's if we say that we are problem solvers, what are we going to be doing now? It was such a design attitude, but also an entrepreneurial attitude. I thought it was very noble, I guess, but also very helpful for the people who are losing their jobs and amazing designers who need to kind of find a place to get back on track, right? So what have you learned so far, like with this journey? I know that it's only 2.5 months and it's really quick. What have you learned so far doing the ADP list?
I think the number one thing that I've learned, you know, is that humans are fundamentally good, right? I think there is a lot of things that we're seeing around the world, you know, there's protests, there's like virus. We see that people are discriminating. There's just a lot of racial inequality. There's a lot of things going on around the world, but the Amazing Design People list is a really good reminder to me and the rest of the world that, people are fundamentally good at the end of the day. We have amazing folks that reach out to us, that wants to mentor, that wants to give up their time, you know, to help others. And then it is just super inspiring. That's the number one thing that I've learned is that, you know, these people are really, really good at heart, you know. And I think humans, when we come together, we're all better. We help someone to find job, you know, land a job in Singapore. We have a lot of stories like that as well that we would love to share. You know, people get jobs through ADP list because it's a community that helps one another, that they pass on opportunities to one another as well. And I think that is really, you know, really awesome. So I've just learned a lot about just the way people interact. That's the number one thing. The second thing is that, you know, great work can be done when you start to realize that, you know, you don't care about your competitors, but you care more about how you're serving the community, right? So I'll tell you a story is that we have a competitor that I'm pretty sure you saw them around as well. They actively copy our posters, the way that we design some of the posters. It's super obvious. But I think that, you know, one of the things is that, you know, we honor great stories and we honor great mentors and designers. And that is one of the things that you can never replicate, right? When you focus so much about serving your people, serving the community, and you just ignore whatever is outside, you know, you tend to build really, really great products, right? You tend to build really great communities. That is the number one thing that I've learned as a founder. And as a designer, I think, you know, both like what you say, you know, entrepreneurial and designer kind of like instinct in a way is that, you know, I've learned that, you know, as long as you focus on serving your customers really, really well, you don't have to care about what people think. Your community is the key, right? It's the key to everything, right? So I think, you know, that's something that I've learned and it's been so humbling so far. And the last thing that I say that I would think is a quick one is that, you know, that remote working actually works really, really well. I'm pretty sure you have faced that as well. Everyone that is behind ADP list, you know, we have 6 people on the team right now. We just added one very recently. You know, we have people from Singapore, we have people from Ghana, West Africa, we have people from Canada today, and we have people from San Francisco, right? We're all coming together as a team to build this ADP list, and you know, we have never met one another in person. And I think that is a proof that, you know, remote working really, really works.
If you are serving well your users, there is always going to be copycats and stuff like this. So the thing is, if you're serving well and you're always ahead of the game, improving, iterating, they won't be able to copy that fast. So you are always there on the vanguard. So it's good enough, right? And let them copy if it's a good idea. That's all you can do. There's nothing that you can do more than that. So you said that you have already 6 people in your team and you started only you. And one more person, that is James from where?
Ghana.
From Ghana.
Ghana.
Now it's a 6-people team. So how did you, are they working not for profit? Do you already have a revenue? How is that working?
Yeah, so right now everything is, we are not profitable right now. There's no plans for making this into a profit company, you know. And I think for us, our focus, you know, right now, I'll be frank, you know, within the team itself, we have never spoke about, is this going to be profitable? Is this going to be the startup? Is this going to be a business? I think, you know, at least from my past experience as a founder, I know that this could be a really good startup. But I think that, you know, for now, we don't put our heads to think, okay, you know, is this something that we want to put into a business right now? Because there's just way too many people that needs this, right? There's just way too many people that needs this and that we can help,
Civic social service. Yeah, that's nice.
Exactly, right? So for now, I would tell you that there is no plans for like revenue or anything like that. But I think that, you know, what's interesting is that because we are supported by Envision, so at least we got some of the costs covered. So we don't have to, you know, sort of like have so much weight on our side, right? So we can focus on just building a really, really great community, and Envision sort of like take care of the, you know, some of the costs and stuff like that. Yeah. So we're super thankful for that.
I know that you are in contact with many designers who lost their jobs. How do you think that COVID impacted the work of designers or the ecosystem of designers, of design and innovation and product design so far?
There is a lot of things that are changing, and we now see a lot of collaborations taking place, you know, remotely. Remote is truly working out, but we do need some time to sort of like get used to the idea that, okay, this is something that we can all actually adopt, just because, you know, it is so new and that no one has ever sort of like done it. So no one actually wants to, in a way, risk it, right? Like no one wants to actually risk to say, okay, I can actually, you know, go remote with my team and then I'll be the first one to do it. That being said, remote working is definitely going to work out in the future. We do see a lot of designers just collaborating with one another, like helping one another. And we have never seen that before ADP List existed. You know, like before ADP List was here, the way that designers meet one another is that, you know, they either, you know, go to LinkedIn and they, you know, co-message someone, you know, it's kind of awkward, you know, at times. But when ADP List came in, what changed was that, you know, the entire landscape changed where you can just meet a designer or a fellow mentor and be so open about just getting into their calendars, getting onto the call. And we both know that, okay, we are on to the call because we're designers and we're here to discuss design. And it's as straightforward as that, right? So I think, you know, when ADP List came in, we introduced this entire idea and I think this is going to be something really new, at least to the world. It's not just design, right? Like what happens if that this model could be replicated to marketing or to developers or something like that? We think it's going to be huge in any ways. And, you know, we're just excited to see how the world is going to evolve in terms of just connecting people very remote means, right? Because I would think that, you know, Facebook, you know, connected people through like, you know, like social media, like their newsfeed or whatever, stuff like that. But I think, you know, there's always a new way to connect people through like interests, through really new ways of, you know, connecting people through like a camera, like video call. Yeah. So that's something that we're actively, you know, thinking about as well. So that's interesting.
First, how COVID impacted is about remote work and that this is going to be changing. Of course, I do agree with you. I'm loving the remote work. In the upper side of it is that I'm actually adapted really well. And I'm like,
nice.
Maybe the team is not, they I think they miss, because I'm lucky I have a home office. So it's proper awesome. And comfortable. But some of our team is like, no, we want to go back to the office. My house is too confusing and stuff like that. So when you were talking about this ecosystem that people were talking with each other, the mentors, I thought it was very interesting, the idea of the mentors. Were they there since the beginning, or was this an add-on after a while?
I'll be frank. At first, the only mentor was me and a few friends. and like I would say it's like less than five, right? It's like five people, right? So, and we were just putting it there sort of like to try things out, just putting it there in the Excel sheet after the first week. And then what we realized was that, oh, you know, people are actually coming into our profiles and, you know, asking us, hey, I want to get a portfolio review and stuff like that. So we think, hey, you know, why not make this more official, right? Which is something that you're seeing on ADP List right here today, is that, you know, it's more official. It's almost becoming like the main part of ADP List itself, right? It's unconsciously, yeah, becoming the main part. So I would say that it wasn't there initially, but it was slowly introduced, yeah.
How do you think that ADP List changed you in a way?
That's a really interesting question, because no one has ever asked me that, by the way. So, you know, personally, it did open up my eyes as to like when you create a really interesting product for a very specific group of people, you know, you have a responsibility to it. I feel a lot more responsible for the community right now, you know, because previously I was just posting on LinkedIn and I was just, you know, engaging with a lot of people. People know me. I wasn't sort of like, you know, having something on hand like ADP List, right? But now people know that aside from this influence, you know, there is something that I'm actually helping designers with. And I think that's something that basically just being responsible for the community. I would say on a personal basis, you know, time management would be the key, because there's just a lot of things that I'm doing right now. As you can see, like I'm a full-time design lead. I'm a full-time military, you know, personnel. I'm in the military, right? And stuff like that. And then, you know, there's just a couple of things that I'm managing. And I think with ADP, this was so sudden, right? It was so sudden that I had to change my lifestyle because of it. I had to change a lot of things. And I think I learned about adapting to new changes. I learned about, you know, just managing my time. So on a personal basis wise, I would say that, you know, the way that I've managed my lifestyle has dramatically increased. I wouldn't say that I've adapted everything yet, but I can say with confidence that, you know, I am trying my best and that, you know, it's definitely going somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's always, I think that's one of the biggest challenges of success, right? So when you have a lot of success, your time becomes very valuable. How do you manage your time? How do you make the best use of your time? And you were having like three big, let's say, commitments now, not commitments, but big three jobs and things that you're developing at the same time. That's very huge.
And you know, like Singapore just opened up our lockdown, so we can go out right now. We can actually go out freely. I'm not even going out because there's just way too many things. There's just way too much things that I have to deal with and I have to do. Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm having a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, I saw that you guys just opened up. I have a few friends living there in Singapore. They were very happy. But I think everyone is so busy that it's like, okay, I don't need to go out as much as I was before. I can just stay home.
Yeah, like everyone just feel like staying home right now. It's crazy. It's crazy, yeah.
How do you see the design landscape in Singapore or in Asia, or if you know more about Singapore, how do you see it?
Okay, the number one thing that we need to know is that the opportunities in Asia is going to rise dramatically, you know, at least in the next 10 years, you know, as I've always believed in the rise of China, right? Southeast Asia as a market by itself, right? So China itself, the Chinese market plays a really huge part in Asia. I mean, undoubtedly, they are the biggest market, you know, in Asia. They are the second largest economy in the world. Maybe sometime, you know, 10 years down the road, they could be first, right? So that's number one. And they're going to bring in a lot of opportunities in this region by itself. And then also we are starting to see that, you know, Southeast Asia, we have countries like Indonesia, we have Singapore that is a really attractive place for people to do business, you know, for people to start up, like start up here. We're going to see a lot more innovations in Southeast Asia, especially, you know, in countries like Indonesia, big market, really cheap, accessible. And then also in high penetration rate in internet. And then also we are seeing Singapore, easy to do business, high penetration in internet, very tech savvy. So we're going to see a lot of new things around here in the next couple of years. And I think, you know, the opportunities for designers is going to rise dramatically here. So that's number one. So if we look at the current situation, I would honestly tell you that the design market, at least in Singapore, is not that mature. In Southeast Asia, I wouldn't say it's too mature as well. Like if you look at Indonesia again, or if you look at like Thailand or stuff like that, you know, it's very fragmented, right? It's very fragmented. And I can tell you, like, even from a Singapore point of view, you know, we have people who are really educated, people who are, you know, basically it's a first world country, right? So, but I'll tell you that the way that people are thinking about design in Singapore is not too advanced. I'll be honest, right? I have a lot of friends that are in Silicon Valley, you know, in big companies, and the way that they think about design is really, really different, right? And that is because they have, you know, amazing infrastructure there. They have amazing mentors there who are able to sort of like pass on their knowledge. But again, you know, this is what ADP List is for, right? If you're in Singapore, you can learn from someone in Silicon Valley. I think, you know, hopefully ADP List plays a huge role in just lifting up the community standards there. And then also I'm seeing that, you know, just the way that people think about design, in Southeast Asia is still very sort of like very small point of view. Personally, when I look at design, I look up to a lot of people in the Europe, right? I'll be honest. People in Italy, Spain and stuff like that, they are incredible, not because they design like digital screens, but they design physical products like the Ferrari, like the Lamborghini. And all these are super exotic products that has a kind of personality to it. And it is not about what they design, it's about the thinking behind their design, right? Like, how do you design a Lamborghini or a Ferrari that speaks to you, right? That just feels so luxurious without even touching it. As a designer, I don't just look at the screens or website that I'm designing, but the inspiration comes with a lot of what is happening outside of just digital products. So I would say that, you know, start looking at the Westerners in terms of like, you know, the Europe side. There's a lot of amazing things out there.
Let me ask you a question. Are there any favorite success stories that you could share from the amazing designer list from the user perspective?
There is this designer that lost his job. You know, he's based in London, UK. His name is called Sam Hardy. And he lost his job, I think, a couple of months back, right? And he couldn't find a job. So he listed himself on the list of the Amazing Design People list, right? So he put himself there. Recruiters and hiring managers could find him. And a couple of months later, I think 2 months later, actually, he actually got found on this list and he actually got hired. And what's amazing is that, you know, the company that he was hired into is actually one of the fastest growing startup in Singapore. So now Sam is going to move to Singapore in a couple of months time after the COVID crisis. And that is one of the most amazing stories that we have heard, you know, because he found his job there. We even actually featured his story on our LinkedIn page. So that is a really, really amazing. Sam and I, we are now very good friends. When he's in Singapore, you know, we're going to get beer to celebrate and stuff like that. And also, you know, he has now also returned as a mentor on the Amazing Design People list. So we are seeing a lot of people who got their jobs through the Amazing Design People list and coming back to mentor others on the list itself. And that has been an incredible journey. And also, there's some very local Singapore case study as well, where there's this girl, her name is called Isabel. You know, she lost her job as well. She then found a job through the Amazing Design People list. And then she reached out to me and said, "Hey, Felix, you know, I found my job through the Amazing Design People list. Now I want to also give back." And now she is also a mentor on the list. And thing is that she also made a very small donation. She also made a donation to the Amazing Design People list, which, you know, we are super grateful for and stuff like that. So, you know, we have a lot of people like that now giving back to others as mentors. So that is incredibly inspiring. And I have a friend also just, I think, 2 days back who actually reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know, I actually hired someone from the Amazing Design People list and I really love what he's doing so far." So yeah, these are some of the really, you know, really, really heartwarming stories that we have been hearing.
So you said before that Southeast Asia and Singapore is not thinking about design in sophisticated terms, right? But
exactly,
the help of the Amazing Designers list is helping to grow that capability in thinking and education. So in the future, what unique perspectives could the design community in Singapore offer to the rest of the world?
That's a really good question. I think having the Amazing Design People list, what we're essentially doing is facilitating the entire, you know, learning process. So right now, you know, for example, like myself from Singapore, I can learn from someone like you that has experience in both Brazil and Australia, you know, and then you can connect to someone from a different part of the world. And the best thing about this is that when you go to Amazing Design People, this everyone there is a designer, everyone there is, you know, it is something that is related to your field, and you can find someone in your country in the topic that you want to listen to, and also in a very specific skill set, right? So these are the very, very kind of like entire system that we're actually building, so that you can now start learning from people overseas. And I think with a community like that, you know, you are actually enhancing the quality of designers all around the world, right? Because now people start learning from one another. And I think that is the after effect that we are already seeing, you know, people getting bigger perspective. And, you know, we have our coffee hours, right, every 2 weeks. And we have actually seen portfolio, you know, just getting better and better and better every single week. So I think that is something that, you know, we take pride in, you know, just by doing that. And back to your question about how Singapore can contribute to the rest of the world in terms of like design, I think Singapore holds a very unique position because we are in a very multiracial, very multi-religion country, and we are very, very small, right? We are only a population of about 5.9 million, somewhere there, you know. So it's we are a very small population, but the very unique set of skills that we have here is that because we are in the middle of, like, we are just in the middle of nowhere, and then we are surrounded by all the Southeast Asian country, we have a very diverse perspective of Southeast Asia. You know, Singaporeans might not bring that kind of perspective in terms of new design trends or whatever that is. But I think we do bring a very diverse set of outlook in terms of the Asian market to the rest of the world. So I think that would be very, very interesting.
You know, you were just saying about this perspective from Singapore. I was doing a project in Singapore and we were working with a company there, and we wanted to do something new. So we were creating a new product, a new digital product for them. They are an amazing company, but sometimes big organizations, they can be quite conservative and traditional, right? I mean, and then we had a session with these clients. And then at the end of the day, we were like, oh my God, I think this is not going to go through because they want to keep the status quo. They are a bit traditional. How do we make them see that there is an opportunity for change and for innovation, basically? And then I remember that it was me and a colleague, Dan, walking the streets of Singapore. And we were walking in the streets and trying to visualize, try to look for these kind of aspects and these kind of prompts or just signals that would tell how does innovation happens in Singapore, right? We're trying to see because there's a big expat community. There's a lot of things happening, but there's these amazing, very crazy buildings out there. Architecture is very prominent, let's say, in Singapore. So we were trying to identify. So, and at the same time, there are some beautiful heritage and traditional cultural buildings over there. So they kind of live at the same place, at the same status, let's say, something that you would be keeping the traditional things, but also new big buildings and all of these things. For example, now the new airport, right? We were talking in the first session. We were saying maybe Singapore to innovate, they need to do this kind of thing that is big, that shows this splendor, let's say, of Singapore. And it needs to be something, it cannot be something so subtle because it could hurt maybe a bit the tradition. It has to be something that we create a statement, right? And then it's worth investing. So we were trying to understand what are the things that is allowed in this culture. Because usually when we do work at Echoes, we do work in different, let's say, places and locations and regions, right? And every region has an appetite for innovation, but not that one region has more appetite than the other, but it's a different appetite, right? Like you as a person, you have more appetite, I don't know, maybe for salty things. I prefer sweet things, but we experiment different things in these aspects. So we were trying to identify that. And so from your perspective, do you think that there is a way of designing or of creating innovation, maybe not only in Singapore, but maybe in Asia, that you think that it's very unique, or you think it's because now we are all global and all coming together? Do you think it's quite common in different regions to be doing things?
Yeah. So that's a very interesting question because you know, Singapore's culture, at least on the very recent days, right? Like I'm talking about like recent years, maybe like 5 years, we are heavily influenced by the Western culture. So we are influenced by the Americans, the way that they do things, the best practices. And I'll be the first to agree to tell you that as of today, the Americans still have, in terms of design, the best practices, including startups, right? So if you look at Silicon Valley, it's one of the most matured. In fact, it is the most matured startup ecosystem in the world, right? They have the most funding there. They have basically the infrastructure. So Singapore is very heavily influenced by the Western culture in terms of like the design and in terms of like startup, if we're talking about that aspect. And that is one, right? But also we do see some of the companies as well being very influenced by China, right? The Chinese market, which is a very entirely different market by itself, right? If we look at the Chinese, right? They have the companies like Tencent, Alibaba, Huawei, Baidu, right? These are all, and also TikTok, right? Right. So these are all the very famous companies that are influencing the world. And I think Singapore sits in a very special position because we get to learn from both sides. You know, China, where we are geographically closer to, and then as compared to the Americans, where we are, I would say, in a way, spiritually learning and closer with, right? So we get to learn from both sides. And I'll tell you that the very special position is that we're in is that I do see a mix of a different culture from learning from China and then also learning from US coming together. For example, I'll give you an example in terms of the design and product context, right? So Singapore, we prefer to use mobile products or just products that are very, very clean, right? Like white, clean and everything, like very white, spacey, negative space. So that itself, I think, is very heavily influenced by the Americans, right? If you look at the products like Airbnb, Uber, and you know, Facebook, they are all very white, negative spaces, right? So that is something that we learn from the Americans. But something that we learn from the Chinese, have you heard about the app called Grab, the largest taxi company? Yeah. Grab is a company that is very heavily influenced by the Chinese, right? So they have different functions. So for example, like you go up there, you can buy your groceries, you can book your movie tickets, you can like do everything there. It's basically like WeChat, the super app, right? And then also, we are seeing a lot of adaption to the QR code, right? The QR code. And this is something that is only popular in the Chinese market, right? We have WeChat Pay, Alipay that uses a QR code, whereas it is not that prominent in the Western market. So as you can see, you know, we take the clean design of the Western market and then also the way that the Chinese do their super apps and QR code, we combine that together. And that is for you, Singapore. And if I were to say so myself, it's not just Singapore, you know, it is the Southeast Asia by itself, right? You see Thailand, Indonesia, especially, we all are learning from both the Westerners and the Chinese. So this is going to be a very interesting market by itself.
Thank you for seeing it. And I think this is one of the reasons why I also moved to Australia too, because I learned so much from the Western culture by being in Brazil. And I really wanted to learn from the Asian culture. And this is probably what I have been seeing. When I first went to Singapore, I didn't even know what Grab was. And then I felt so silly because it's so huge. It's a whole ecosystem, like those Chinese ecosystem.
Exactly.
Everything. You can do everything in that platform, which is really, really amazing. So one thing that I would like to ask, and maybe to discuss, actually,
yeah,
I know if you heard the saying that whatever you design, designs you back. It means basically that the principles, the ethics, the way of thinking that you are, of the thing that you are designing, the object, the product, whatever, whenever the user is in contact with it, it's also going to design you back. It's going to influence your behavior, what your way of living, your life. How do you think that these apps that we're using more and more, coming from Asia, coming from China, or also coming from the US or from the UK and from Latin America or whatever they are coming, how do you think that they are actually influencing our lives? Because you just had an example about the colors and the behaviors of the US, but also using the technology from China. Do you think that whatever you design designs you back?
I would love to hear from your perspective first. Could I hear your story on that, on this?
I think this is more theoretical thing about design, right? So basically, for example, let's say the mouse, right?
Yeah.
So while I am using this, that is something, an object that was created, a piece of technology and something, this is going to make me act and behave in a different way. And I'm going to start to believe implicit things that the mouse tells me. So, for example, because I can access and click on things without really touching on things, maybe I will start to believe that this is possible in my life as well. So it's designing me back in a way, right? And this is a very simple story about that. But if you think about this in bigger, let's say, implications, there has been this big shift of what is happening, the technology used to come from the US and design used to come from the Western world, but now it's shifting more and more to come from the Asian countries. How do you think that we are going as Western going to be influenced? I always wonder, how are we going to be designed back because we're using so much these products? And not in a bad way, also in a good way, I mean.
Yeah.
It could be both, right? So I'm always wondering this, is what will be the impacts of those things?
You know, it's hard to tell because, like I say, Southeast Asia itself is a very fragmented market in a sense that, you know, Singapore is the most expensive city in the world. And then on the other side, you have a neighboring country like, you know, Cambodia and Thailand where it is far less developed. So to speak as a region, it's hard because whatever that is being influenced in Singapore, you know, it is not being reflected in our neighboring countries. And that is by no fault of their own, you know. And I will tell you that this is just how the system works. And in your case, to say, okay, how are the Chinese or like, you know, how are the Westerners influenced by Singapore? You know, like because them designing something influencing us, and then is that something that we design could influence them? I think theoretically speaking, there would be close to none. But I'll tell you that interestingly, in terms of like, you know, behavior wise. there will be some market that will be picking up things that are faster. For example, you know, like agricultural, I think Southeast Asia is a very big place for agriculture technology, right? If we talk about agriculture technology, we have like designers working there. You know, I have designer friends working in that sector. I know that because, you know, we are Asians, and I think, you know, this is something like, you know, we are taught like about farming and whatever that is in our ancestors' days. That has remained as part of the culture in a lot of places in Southeast Asia for a very, very long time. And I tell you that moving forward, being a very sustainable world, agriculture is going to be a huge thing for Southeast Asia and, you know, for the rest of the world. And I think if we just look at Singapore, Singapore has influenced the world in many, many ways. I mean, if you do your research and if you go and study, you know, you probably would already have known that the culture of Singapore has actually indirectly impacted the Chinese, right? And also the Chinese has also indirectly impacted like the Singapore. So for example, like in the Chinese history, when, you know, like the President Mao Zedong decided to open up China to the rest of the world, our founding leader also decided to open up, you know, Singapore to the rest of the world, right? And I think it is always such political changes and political landscapes that, you know, changes the way that things are being influenced. And also, I think if you're just talking about design, it's hard to pinpoint to something very specific. But in terms of cultural revolution, then there will be a lot of things because we are seeing more Americans coming into Singapore as well, you know, working. And then, of course, inevitably, they would actually bring some of the elements back to the US. And I would say, to the extent that we are sort of like a bridge, right? Because the Chinese and the Westerners don't really come together, right? I mean, it's very obvious. You have like the crazy trade war tensions right now, right? It's crazy. And as Singapore is a middle person, you have people coming in from both sides. And it's inevitable that some of the Westerners will actually learn from the Chinese in Singapore. And then they would bring it back. So indirectly, they might also bring back some sort of like a Chinese or Singapore mixed kind of culture and learning, design learning back to their country. Yeah, so I would say that we are more of like a bridge and like a mix of a lot of things.
That's very, I mean, I do absolutely agree with that. I remember the first time that we started coming to Australia with the intent of bringing Echoes here. And also, as I told you before, one of our intents was to expand to Asia, of course. And Australia was the first step. And as soon as we arrived here, everyone was like, okay, so if you want to go to Asia, you should start by Singapore. Everyone, of course, would always be telling us that since the beginning. We're like, yeah, of course. And when I started going actually to Singapore and working with a few clients there, we learned, wow, that's really this mix. And there is this kind of vibe in Singapore. There is something happening and boiling, right? So I don't know, at least before COVID, I was having this feeling. I was like, wow, that's an amazing place to be now. And another thing that you just touched upon was about the agriculture and the agri-tech business. This is something that is already growing, but I think it's going to be big in the design world as well, right? Because it's already in the tech world and the innovation world. But now I recently just became a mentor of Grow, that is a food tech and agri-tech accelerator. The first one is located there in Singapore. And we are, I mean, it's interesting because they are helping these even international startups. They are going to be accelerated by Singapore to help grow this infrastructure and this technology and the new companies in agri-tech, which I think is interesting. And I think there is this intersection of design and agriculture that it's not very much explored until now from the technology perspective, which I think is going to be very, very, very interesting. So I guess this is another thing that's probably is starting to kind of boil as well. And I think it's going to be cool to see and to kind of follow up.
And I'll tell you why that agriculture is going to be huge as well, because especially in Singapore, because we actually do have like some country goals that we want to be self-sustainable in terms of like food. We want to be self-supplied in terms of food, I think by 2030 or something like that, right? So you will see a lot of agricultural technology ripping out of Southeast Asia, especially in Singapore, for the next couple of years. And I think, you know, it's a good timing to be in. And I think if you ever want more clients or anything that is related to that, start thinking about how design can really be a part of agri-technology so that, you know, these accelerators or whatever can work with your agency. They can pay you like a retention or whatever that is. And then, you know, tie like a good partnership there. And I think that is going to boost you ahead of anyone, any other agencies for the rest of the years ahead. Because if you have the influence in Singapore, it's easy for you to move into Malaysia, to Indonesia or whatever that is, as long as you understand how design can influence agriculture technology, which is going to be huge.
When the isolations are over, when the, let's say, when the economical changes are shifted and it started to recover, what will be the continuing role of the Amazing Designers List? What will be the next step, right? Are you guys going to be acting as something like related to design leadership or to matching designers? What do you think that is the role of the future for the Amazing Designers List?
The COVID crisis is determined by two factors, right? The first thing is that a complete 28 days without any COVID cases in Singapore or in any part of the world, 28 days without any COVID cases. So that itself we can declare. But the economy, the market is going to take time to recover. People are going to take time to find jobs. Right? It's going to take like 5 years. It's going to take, I don't know, 3 years or whatever that is. So getting the designers a job will always be a very prominent part of the Amazing Design People List, at least for the next 3 years. Because like I said, the market is still going to remain like that. The market is not going to recover that fast. We have still not seen the full impact of COVID crisis. We have still not seen yet. So I'm not trying to scare anyone here or whatever, but you know, this is of course, you know, studied by the market itself. Helping people after the COVID crisis will still remain the focus. And the focus will always be on, firstly, how do we find someone for you that can mentor you and tell you how to become a better designer? Because by telling you how you can become a better designer, then only you can land a new job, right? Then only you can get a new role, because we are constantly upgrading your skill sets. We are constantly helping you to upgrade your quality as a designer. The second thing is that we want to be able to provide more job opportunities for the designers, right? We are going to partner with people like Greenhouse. We hope to partner with people, many different design companies or companies that are hiring designers to actually put their jobs on the Amazing Design People List for free. That is something that we're going to continue doing. And the last thing that we want to do, which is going to be very, very interesting and exciting, which is something that I think we spoke about, is the community resources. That will not be the last, that will not be the final name. The name is going to change, but community resources is really a content platform that allows people to communicate through video, short form videos like Snapchat, in a way like Quora and Snapchat, right? So we do see a huge potential in bringing a new form of design contents to the world. With that, it actually links back to the point one, which is creating quality designers for the world, right? Helping to inspire quality designers. And the content part will actually be a very huge push towards that direction. If I were to sum up, two things: creating more quality designers through mentorship and through contents. And the second thing is to get people more jobs, opportunities, to get these things more visible. So this is what we're going to focus on after the COVID crisis. And I think this is a very long-term strategy that will, of course, go on forever, because people always want to be better and people will always be looking for jobs.
So what would you tell, just like as a final conclusion for our audience, what would be the best tip to become a better designer?
I think the first part to becoming a better designer is to understand why you want to be a designer, right? Like, is to have the intentionality to say, okay, I want to be a designer because I want to design a better world for the rest of humanity. And I think it's always have a justness of a cause. Now, if you look at Nelson Mandela, right, he went to jail for like 27 years. I think it was 27 years. And he came out, he still believes in what he believed in 27 years ago, right? He was jailed because, you know, the country was like corrupted and whatever that is. And then, you know, he was jailed because of the wrong reasons. And but he came out, he still had a just cause. And I'll tell you this, like, how many designers could be, in a way, jailed for like 27 years and come out and still say that I want to design a better world? Now, you have to have a just cause as strong as that, right? That's the number one thing. The second thing that I just told a friend this morning from San Francisco is that a good and great designer, the difference is not in terms of your user experience. Sometimes it's not in terms of like your visual design. Because I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure that, you know, you yourself has seen many, many great designers, right, Juliana? There's a lot of great designers. But I think the difference between a good and great designer, right, everyone can design, is the way that they measure the trade-offs, right? It's the way that they weigh the trade-offs, right? So there are two designs. Well, both can work. Theoretically, if we speak, both can work. But option A and option B, what are some of the things that we are sacrificing differently? What are some of the trade-offs that we are making? A good designer would know how to measure the right trade-offs at the right time. That is the most important thing about a designer that I believe that people should start looking into. It's not very commonly mentioned, but I'll tell you, this is the most important factor. Because a designer that can measure a proper trade-off, that can do a perfect trade-off, they can execute things really, really well. And that is the ultimate, you know, I would say, great designer. Yeah.
As designers, you of course, you're trying to create the best experience, et cetera, et cetera. But you need to make it work. It needs to happen, right? So these trade-offs are key to making a dream become a reality and really creating impact. Thank you again for here with us at the podcast, at Desired. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you, and I learned so much through this journey. Thank you, thank you, thank you again.
And same thing here. I thank you for having me up, and also, like, you know, I learned a lot as well. So I really do appreciate what we have discussed here.
So if you are a designer who is looking for work or wants to become a mentor to the industry, please visit the ADP list. It's really incredible work. I especially loved Felix's thinking on the design leadership as the next step of evolution in people's careers and how the industry evolves worldwide. After listening to this episode, I'm sure you would agree with me that Felix is a humanitarian. So I would like to leave you with his wise words. You have the intentionality to say, okay, I want to be a designer because I want to design a better world for the rest of humanity. But first, you must have that intentionality to create good in the world. Felix is certainly helping his industry, and we look forward to following him on his journey with the ADP list and more. I hope that you enjoyed, and to see you soon again in the next episode.